Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Full program today, as always. I will tell you right now, obviously, we are going to focus. You've probably heard enough of it about the coronavirus, but you haven't heard some things you need to hear today. These are going to be some things that deal with common sense, a little bit of experience, most of all, the Word of God and how we are where we are, what we do from here. Talk about some things that may relate to a greater picture of whatever you might want to call it, just a disruption in our lives, maybe even tribulation. Hard to know where to leave off, and one thing leaves off, another thing ends, but we're going to get rolling here. I do want to start with some good news, though, and I'm going to end with good news. That's an absolute promise today. Last week we had, it was the second week now, I think the last two out of the 3 weeks, Red Sky Radio has had over 200,000 listeners. And when combined with the new program of Real Men Radio, had a record of over 48,000 last week. It has a combined listening audience for the first time ever of over 250,000 people. And I give all the praise and glory to God. I thank the people who pray for me regularly. You know who you are. I don't know who all of you are. Don't know most of you, probably very few that I know of that are regularly praying, but I appreciate it. They pray for protection for me and blessing upon this program. We have people who are regular financial supporters. They do their part. I appreciate that so much. But there's also some additional good news I need to just get out here. We are redoing the Red Sky Radio webpage, and I believe it's going to combine Red Sky Radio and Real Men Radio, at least in some way, shape, or form. I don't know all of that. I've got to get further details from the tech guy. I will be back to being able to blog, which I did for the last presidential election, which I will start doing when time permits. My time is so crunched. But something that is the result of a request from both people here in the United States and people living across the oceans, whichever way you go, that we have a PayPal or an auto contribution attachment to the new webpage, and we will have it. I've looked long and hard for a substitute for PayPal because I really don't care for the company. And I've been advised through by another party, having done a bunch of research, there are alternatives. All the alternatives are owned by PayPal. So we're right back where we started. I'm going to surrender that for now so that we can accomplish that objective. But it's going to be very easy now for people, such as the last request I got from somebody in India. Is there a way I can give? Because they can't write a check on a bank in India. Maybe they don't even have checks in India. I'm not sure what our Indian brothers and sisters use. I don't know for exchange. But in any event, we're going to get that going. And when it's up and running, obviously, I will let you know. Just running down here in no particular order, I think it's interesting this last week with all that's gone on, last couple weeks actually, and as much as the media continues to try to defame Donald Trump and the outlandish, ridiculous, nonsensical, idiotic, moronic comments coming out of Democrats left and right that somehow Trump is responsible for the coronavirus, that he is continuing to pack crowds everywhere he goes, and the crowds are packed to include multiple thousands of Democrats, ones who called themselves Democrats, maybe they aren't anymore. I mean, I've shared this, I think, before, but at one time, I was a Democrat. It's hard to believe I ever was. If you called me a Democrat now, I would sue you for defamation and slander, libel, and whatever form it showed up. But there's a funny thing that happened during an election back in the 70s where I was running for the House of Representatives in Michigan. As a Democrat, I got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? Without any encouragement, without any instruction, without any advice, only by the Holy Spirit, I ceased to be a Democrat. Not that the Republicans were the be-all and end-all, but they sure were closer, a lot closer, and still are to the day, to the fundamental core principles we see referenced in Scripture and in the United States Constitution. How about that? Well, anyway, this is, let me keep moving on here. Jack Brewer, ex-NFL player, black man, he's now an ordained minister. He has said, it came out here, and the mainstream media won't cover this, but I just think it is a great story, which matches a great photo of President Trump with his hands folded, his hands down, and a whole bunch of black men and women, pastors and their spouses and what have you. There's one white woman in the whole picture laying hands on the president in the Oval Office. Or maybe it's not the Oval Office, but somewhere they're laying hands praying for our president. I mean, I just, God bless the blacks and the Hispanics that are rising up, throwing off the shackles of a financial slavery, if you will, having been caught in the Democrat plantation for so many years that are coming out. And this former Minnesota Vikings player, Jack Brewer, came out and gave President Trump an incredible compliment, calling him America's true first black president. End quote. And by that, what he meant was, this is the first president we have had. And he's not forgotten about Obama, but he said, who actually really cares about blacks. It's not free cell phones like Obama gave out for voting for him. No, it's actually helping the historically black colleges and universities maintain their existence. And it was a roundtable meeting at the White House. Of course, all of this scares the absolute bejeebies out of the Democrats, who are so desperately and deathly afraid of losing their core base, which they have enslaved for over 100 years. And of course, this is why the attacks on Trump just ramp up and ramp up and just go to the absolute absurd. And the attacks are just increasingly violent. Who was it? The teacher? I think it was in North Carolina. I'm not sure. Someplace where I wouldn't expect it. The teacher that just said before a student said Vice President Pence should be shot in the head. You know what? I don't repeat 99% of the stuff I hear, and the violence projected upon and wished upon Republicans, and particularly those in high office from Trump to Pence to Betsy DeVos on down. I don't share them. You don't need to hear all that. You've heard it before, but these people, it is a demon-possessed party. It has certainly become that. Well, President Trump said, he declared that he will not stop until he has at least attempted, if not succeeded, in reaching 100% of the black community. I want to quote Jack Brewer here, and then we got to move on. He's, quote, "I've been a Democrat all my life, but I'm not a Democrat now," he told Trump at this meeting. "You changed me. You touched me. You made my work go to another level. You inspire me. And every time I go into prisons, I ask my guys how many have had their sentences reduced. And they raise their hands. And the things that you have done." And he goes on and on here. But he concludes with, quote, "Blacks in America have listened to President's campaign on empty promises for over 50 years. Donald Trump now has delivered real policies that are bringing people out of poverty and freeing our black sons and fathers. The black awakening is happening." Isn't this just amazing? Now, this is why the Democrats are using the coronavirus as impeachment 5.0. Because they don't got nothing, as somebody once said. They don't have anything. And now it's his fault. And, well, you know what? I got to go move on here. I got a couple other things, and I got to keep moving here. This just came in before we went to taping this here on the Friday morning. I was shocked. Thursday evening, I was watching the news, watching Tucker Carlson, and I was shocked at something I did not know. I had no idea that 96% of the antibiotics used in the United States are manufactured in China by people who now come to hate us, who are blaming the coronavirus on America, where even, what was the guy, I can't say his name, I couldn't pronounce it if I had it in front of me, the guy that ended up in jail for coming out, not out of the closet, he came out and identified where the coronavirus started in Wuhan, right? Which we can't say anymore, according to the Democrats, according to whatever, even Joe Biden saying, that's a xenophobic. And he picked that, of course, up from Jim Acosta after the president's speech the other night. He says xenophobic to call it foreign, even though there are 35 and counting instances, a number of times by CNN themselves, that are referred to this either as the Wuhan virus or the Chinese virus, because that's clearly where it came from. But they don't have anything on Trump, so now they're claiming he's xenophobic. Because it's racist. And both Trump and Bernie Sanders, stupid as they are, evil as they are, calling for open borders and admitting all the Chinese that want to come to the U.S. get to come. We got a president that's smarter than that gross and raw stupidity that has become one of the not the defining characteristic of Democrats. Defining characteristics is really evil, but it's wrapped up in a Band-Aid of stupidity. But my good point here is that Friday morning here, President Trump has announced an executive order to buy America and end the reliance on Chinese medical supplies. And you know, I might not get to it later, because, and I may forget about it, but do you wonder why Joe Biden is calling Trump xenophobic and he hates foreigners and we need to let in the Chinese, the people who brought the disease in the first place, or people traveling there? Not that I'm blaming the Chinese for the virus. I'm blaming them for blaming it on the U.S. and now Iran, who've got football field size graves they're digging with dozers and backhoes to bury all the coronavirus dead, are blaming the virus on Americans and the Jews. They say, this is Iran saying the Jews are partly responsible for the coronavirus and its spread. These are the guys that Barack Hussein said we could trust with the billions of dollars in aid in the Iran nuclear transaction. Gosh, what an idiot. Well, anyway, Trump is doing something about it. I did not know we are that reliant upon a country that has now come to hate us for our antibiotics. Why on earth did we get here? And do you think a Democrat who is president would come out and order this? No, he would continue the reliance, continue on doing things that would be hurtful for this country. And why? And if that were Joe Biden, I'll tell you why. Because Joe has millions and millions invested in the success of China. Joe, I'm not beating up on Chinese, but Joe is more China than he is American. He's more Chinese than he is American in his political affiliation. Now, moving on to the virus itself. I'm going to go back and forth between the campaign and the virus because they have become interwoven in this world. I mean, in recent days, if not, well, weeks, but certainly in the most recent days. So, Trump proposes that we have this funding package to fight the coronavirus. Well, we're going to get to the state of New York in a few minutes, what they've done to fight the coronavirus. So the coronavirus, which has now killed, as of this taping, something like 136 people in the United States. But Nancy Pelosi is insisting that the coronavirus package have $1 billion in it, not subject to the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment is the amendment which has been around forever, which prohibits federal funds from being used for abortion. This is how evil, wicked, stupid, whatever you want to call her. She's all of those things. Mostly evil. Nancy Pelosi wants to make sure that in an effort to deal with the death of 136 million, presumably, I don't know if they're old or whatever, 136 million Americans, the way we're going to fight the battle against that which has killed 136 Americans is to fund a bill that will underscore and fund the execution of 2,500 babies a day in the United States in the womb. Let's fight the death of 136 over a month and a half or 2 months by funding a bill that kills 2,500 a day in the United States. Do you see why I call them Democrats? The depth of their evil, the depth of their wickedness seems to know no bounds. I'm not saying that there isn't something to this. I flew to California last weekend. I did a Bible study on a Saturday night with a bunch of loved ones in the state of California, and I preached on Sunday at a great church up in Santa Maria, pastored by Greg Diamante. If you're ever in Santa Maria, go to the family, the Christian Family Church of God. Christian Family Church of God. Greg Diamante, we're two peas in the pod. There's nothing we hold back. If people get up and walk out, too bad, so sad. Just that Greg is much kinder and gentler than I am. That's why his congregation is 100, and mine never got more than about 25 or 30. And then I'd do a message, and if it grew to 35, I'd do a message and run five of them off. Not intentionally. My wife just always asks me, why, when our church grows by 10 people, do you do a message that runs 10 of them back off? I don't know. Don't have an answer to that. The truth hurts sometimes. But anyway, I was on this plane, an Airbus 319 from Phoenix to Santa Barbara. I think the biggest plane that flies into Santa Barbara holds, I don't know, it's six seats wide for, I don't know, what, 25 rows? So that would be, what, 150 people? Maybe 180, maybe 30 rows? I don't know how far back it goes, but at least 150. There weren't 20 of us on there. There were not even 20 of us on this plane. I had a middle seat, the cheapest seat you could get. I asked the gate agent, said, well, is it cost me money to get a window seat? She said, yes, it does cost more. Well, do you have, is the plane pretty full? She burst out laughing. She said, let me see your ticket. I showed her my ticket. She said, you don't have a single person in any row. You got your choice of about 30 window seats. And I should have pushed it and gone for first class. I didn't. I don't know what was wrong with me. But fear, folks, fear. Fear is driving this world. And sadly, fear is driving way too many Christians. fear. I mean, and the fear is so evident in California. It's hitting Arizona. Yeah, there's not the toilet paper and the Kleenex and the napkins and everything else that you could use, I suppose, readily available in the Phoenix area. But that's what happens when you go to a big city. Big cities work around fear because they're just simply, totally, and completely reliant upon somebody to provide everything. Live out in the country. Try that. You'll learn a different way of life. I mean, California, Gavin Newsom is commandeering hotels. I'm serious. He's commandeering hotels to force, he's forcing by executive order, taking over hotels to stick coronavirus. Either people have been identified with it or as a quarantine. Well, I don't want to go stay. I mean, how many people are going to go stay in those hotels after this thing blows over? I mean, this is ridiculous. San Jose passed an ordinance that no longer prevents any landlords from evicting people for this. I mean, I'm meeting with a client later today, one of my best Californian clients. I can tell, hey, this is why I've told you to sell your rental properties in California. I didn't see the coronavirus coming, but it just gets worse because why? Democrats never, ever, 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 ever waste an opportunity to seize power and control. And once it's seized and once the emergency passes, when can anyone listening to this program out of you 200,000 give me an example of them surrendering the power that they have taken? So the left complains Trump isn't doing enough. He's not doing enough. He's not being very presidential. Oh my gosh, Bernie says Bernie Sanders, we'd have this problem under control if we had Medicare for all. Well, Bernie can't control himself. Bernie's got a problem. Not only should he quit endorsing communists like Fidel Castro, but he also needs to figure out who he's running against. I'm sorry, I interjected this. I won't say anything more about Bernie, but because he's not worth it. But he keeps attacking Trump. He seems to forget that he's actually running against Biden. But that seems to have escaped Bernie. Anyway, so Trump is allegedly not doing, he's not doing enough. They haven't done this, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing Trump can do that's right to the left because they don't have, they've tried impeachment 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. This is 5.0. Nothing sticks. So they're going with this ad hominem over the top hyperbole is to be kind, to use a word that describes her behavior. So then what does Trump do? He does what we should be doing and did do, the first one to do, have a travel ban against certain countries and now with flights from Europe. And what's the left saying? He's over the top. He's doing way too much. He's violent. He should let these people in. So we started with not doing enough. Now he's going over the top, doing way too much. All right. I am not a fan of hate night TV. That's all these guys are. These losers, Colbert, Kimmel, they think they're funny. They probably just listen to their own monologues, and if they don't have laughter, they dub it in so they can just sit there and chuckle about how wise they are. But they're fools. They're absolute fools. I say that because Scripture says that about them. But if you have any question, any thought whatsoever about whether this is a spiritual battle that we are engaged in, you consider the quotes from these guys who hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate the Bible. Colbert, Kimmel, they're bibliophobic, Christophobic. And I don't know which one said it, Colbert, Kimmel, one of them, or maybe it was one of the others. I'm not sure who else is out there. So they're making fun of Mike Pence. They're mocking him. And they had said that, well, so what's Pence's, this is once he's named head of the task force. So what's his answer to the coronavirus going to be? It'll probably be abstinence. And they all laugh. All the fools in that group laugh. Well, I'll tell you what. You are playing a very dangerous card, you guys, when you make fun of God's people. You should not do that. And guess what, Colbert and Kimmel? You don't have any audiences anymore. Your studios are closed. You got to dub in the laughter note because you don't have anybody in your audiences because of the coronavirus that you're making fun of Mike Pence for heading up. Because why? Because Mike Pence is a Christian who prays, and they are making fun of him praying. Don't do that. I'm trying to be nice to you guys, as nice as I can be. You don't mock a Christian for praying. Because when you mock a Christian for praying, you are mocking God. How do I know it? Well, it says in Scripture, it says, look, if Jesus said, the servant's not getting greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And know that when they hate you, it's because they first hated me. So if they are mocking Christians, they're mocking God. They're mocking Jesus. And God will not be mocked. Kimmel, Colbert, and all you other leftist yin-yangs and those who just hate God and have this disdain for Christians, you will reap what you sow because that's what Scripture says. And why are you fools? Because only a fool says it's a fool who says there is no God. And you wouldn't mock God, you guys, if you believed there was a God. We know that you're atheists, and you know what? We hope you get saved. But man, you are on shaky ground. And one last thing. David said to those servants of his, Joab and those in the military, who wanted to take out Saul, who had gone down the dark path of disobedience and suspicion and fear of no longer trusting God. He consulted a witch. And nonetheless, David said, you do not touch God's anointed. And David said that about a Saul who had walked away from God. So what David is saying is, look, you don't touch anybody who's serving God. You don't even touch anybody who used to serve God. So guess what? That means you don't make fun of God's anointing. You don't touch them with ridicule and mockery unless you really do want to reap what you've sown. Well, okay, I said I would get to the New York equivalent of the measures being taken, and this is in New York. They have called out the National Guard to fight the coronavirus. Now, folks, I did my time in the National Guard, the Army Guard. You aren't called out to fight viruses. I wouldn't have gone to the armory and said, put on your gas mask, load up your M16, which I might add, I love that gun, and go out there and shoot the daylights out of the coronavirus. It's not what the military is for. And the only reason I even mention what New York is doing, because this gives you a glimpse of the power-grabbing tactics of the left. And it's just like the Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist, it won't have to take power. He'll grab it, but he'll grab what's given to him. A faithless pack of nervous Nellies who will want everybody else to fight their battle for them. You know what? I got to come back to this after the break. Don't go away. I got to finish this and give you a scripture that applies. We'll be right back. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. I just have to finish this piece about New York calling out the National Guard to fight the coronavirus, because this is just very typical of the left. They seize these opportunities to grab power. They never return it. I mean, we had the water crisis in California, and Jerry Brown took over control, and did it ever return to the people? Did he surrender the power even when the rains returned? No, of course not. Democrats love power. They love absolute power. That's why I call them the Democrats, because it's like Satan. He wants to control the world. I mean, the last temptation to Christ was, look, I'll give you the authority over all this if you just bow down and worship me. I want to be the grand poobah. Well, here's the thing with this desire to have. And it's mostly coming from people in big cities who rely on government far more than people in small towns and in the country, just the way that it is. They want to turn over a power and control to somebody who will just make their problems go away. Yes, the Antichrist will seize power, but he'll seize that which was offered to him. You know, I think it was Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 as a chancellor, but there was a time when he was granted virtually absolute power to rule. And what did he do? Well, it's believed that Hitler burned the Reichstag, which is a building that held the German equivalent to our House of Representatives, and then blamed it on the communists, which we don't think was true at all. But then that caused the fear, the national terror, the national fear that the people willingly gave to Hitler to take over. This is how it's going to be with the Antichrist. I mean, goodness sakes, folks, I am running into people that I honestly think would take the mark of the beast so they could buy toilet paper. We haven't seen anything yet. This is a nothing compared to what could be coming down the pike. But I draw you to a passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8, and read all verses 10 through 20. I'm referencing in generally, I don't have the time to read all of them, but as in essence, the Lord, the people want a king. The people have fallen away from God. God says to the prophet Samuel says, Lord, the people want a king. God says, hey, Samuel, don't worry. They're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me, but tell them what kind of king they're going to get. And this, I first preached this message before a congregation when we elected Barack Obama, because this is a Barack Obama passage. This is the kind of king you're going to get. He's going to raise your taxes. He's going to conscript your people who will make your servants his servants. Go right on down the line. I don't want to go through that. But starting in verse 18, it says, and that day you shall cry out because of the king which you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, this is the point. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the misery of the people. So let's just go to today's misery or fear of misery, which is really driving this. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we want a king over us. We want to be like all the nations. We want to be like everybody else. We want to have somebody that just rules over us authoritatively, anybody other than Trump. We want our king to judge us. We want our king to go out before us. We want our king to fight our battles. This is what will cause the fear, will cause people to willingly surrender power. And the powers that be subsequent to Donald Trump will grab it. They're grabbing it at the state level. like in New York and like California, who've looked at for opportunities. Gee, just how much more can we control every part of people's lives? That's just a sign of things to come. All right. Has Donald Trump done anything wrong in this thing? Well, you know what? I sort of regret him predicting that the coronavirus would be nothing, that we would be down to zero cases in a short time. I think that was a mistake. I will mention when I think Trump takes a misstep. He's good-hearted. I believe he believes what we're doing is the right thing. Both times he's spoken, it's been strong, and he's done things to allay the fears and concerns. However, it's Trump, and then you got the mainstream media beating Trump up and telling everybody that they should be fearful. Here's why you should be fearful. Here's why you should not believe Trump, and here's why you need to elect Joe Biden. So keep in mind, if we end up with a Democrat in 2020, this November, as president, it's going to be because the media won the election, and the people were not smart enough to listen to people who had any measure of wisdom and decided, no, we want to be like all the nations. We want to have national health care. We want to do this just like all the other countries that are failing miserably. Why on earth do we want to be like Germany or Italy or China? Why would we want to be like them? So I regret that he said that. But nonetheless, that's where we are. So we've got these closures of all these different events and things going on. I mean, it's sad, and it's not the virus that's going to hurt our economy. It's the fear of the virus and the closing all these things, which will have an economic impact. But I do find it rather interesting here. Joe Biden, and I just got to say a couple of other really quick things about him. I'm going to move off from him because, you know, he keeps, what do I say? He doesn't want to be unliked, but he does incredibly stupid things thinking that that will cause him to be liked. Now, we know that he's furious about having to debate Bernie Sanders because that's going to give everybody an opportunity to see that Joe Biden has some serious problems. The guy is suffering from dementia. It's clear. I mean, goodness sakes, Joe's got three problems. His brains have fallen out. His teeth are falling out. He can't keep his brains in. He can't keep his teeth in. And he can't keep his hands off young girls. And the more visibility there are is to the real Joe Biden, the guy's toast. But I'm amazed how many people, everybody who endorses him only can say one thing about him, including Jay Leno, who's now endorsed him, saying he's a decent man. He's a decent man. I could go through a list of Hollywood celebs that are saying he's just a decent man. They're trying to find something that distinguishes him from Ronald Reagan, right? No, not Ronald Reagan. I didn't say that accidentally. I'm looking at my next piece from the Babylon Bee, which I want to share with you because it's hilarious. I think it's just hilarious. But if he has to debate, they're going to see him for who he is, but they still continue to say he's decent, he's decent, he's decent. Well, what decent man would tell a hardworking union guy in Michigan that he's full of spit, and you know what I mean, and then goes on to call the guy a dumbass? Well, is that a decent man? No. No. I honestly, here's my assessment of Joe Biden. You think I'm going to be judgmental about him, but I'm not. He's a very, very thin-skinned, semi-senior, demented, perverted, creepy, hypocritical liar. Now, you say you're judging the guy. No, I judge the tree by the fruit. That's how Jesus said, you know, I can go through everything. I have proof for everything to show he's thin-skinned. He's semi-demented. He's perverted. He's creepy. I mean, he's talking about how the black kids like to come up at the pool where he worked and touch his hairy blonde legs. He likes to be in everyone's face. He loves smelling baby's hair. The guy's a creep. I judge him by his fruit. Well, anyway. So how can you keep up with this stuff? I work hard, but how do I keep my sense of humor? I mentioned the Babylon Bee a little while ago. Babylon Bee, I love this website. It's a bunch of young, outrageously intelligent, satirical, and funny Christians who will take stories and just satirize them. The moniker for the Babylon Bee is this, and this by itself is hilarious. They call it fake news you can trust. And I think that's, it strikes me. But anyway, being really funny. So what they had here, they came out with a satirical story, kind of like The Onion, but this is on the Christian side. And Joe Biden is giving this speech. It's a real picture of Joe surrounded by blacks, all of whom look like they just swallowed raw liver. None of them are happy. We know they've been paid to get up there and get behind him. No one is smiling and cheering this guy on. But they propose this as a real story. Look up BabylonBee.com if you just want a little levity that combines taking pokes at certain Christian figures that need to be poked at, along with political insanity that we have calling itself real news and calling itself intelligent news. But this is the fake speech. Quote, Joe Biden, I am the only candidate who can unite the party to defeat Ronald Reagan, he said to scattered applause. When Super Thursday hits here in a few weeks, we can rally the 150 million Democrats here in the great country of Texas to vote for me so we can get Reagan and his crony Dick Cheney off the Iron Throne there in the Imperial Senate. Go Hoosiers. End quote. And then the story goes on to say the aides scrambled to turn off Biden's mic, but he beat them away with his walker. And he said, quote, this time has come, the time has come for the reign of Tippy Canoe and Tyler Two to end, he shouted, though by this point he had wandered into a nearby field and no one actually could hear him. I love this, you guys. This is your advertising, Babylon. You want something light, go after it. So here's been my prayer lately, as of lately, meaning the last 24 hours. God, what is there that could come out of this for the good? And this is an ongoing prayer, because just only a few things have emerged so far, but I'm going to keep you up to date on the things that I believe will be actually multiple silver linings. This is going to be easy. We're going to reorder our priorities, sort of like 9/11. It's time we get back to some basics and reorder our priorities. This is sending some people to their knees that haven't been on their knees in forever except to pick up some stuff they dropped underneath the kitchen table. But the thing that struck me more than anything else, with all the school closings, I have said, and I have heard people that aren't Christians say this, that are conservatives, non-Christians, but I have beaten this drum forever. You need to get your kids out of government schools, because every year they just crank out a new raft of Democrats, totally polluted, tainted, and not educated, but indoctrinated out of the high schools now, and certainly for a long time out of the colleges. The school closures are a blessing in disguise, because there are now reportedly thousands of people who actually ignorantly sending their kids to a Democratic incubation campus, lab rat experiments that their children have, but they've been innocent in doing, just not very educated and maybe not caring enough, but they care enough now that they're actually exploring homeschooling and all the educational alternatives. You see, the left has relied on capturing your children from age 5 all the way up to mess this up. You don't believe me? Go read the Communist Manifesto. It's in there. The strategy has been around a long time. So what's the most important thing to consider when you have a national disaster or the fear of a national disaster? Is it toilet paper? Napkins, all those things. No. Look, the Indians didn't use toilet paper. If you got a tree in your yard, you're in good luck. You're in good standing. You can deal with these issues other ways, folks. And these emergencies, if you will, and I'm overusing that word, is sort of necessity is the mother of invention, they say. You know, people get creative. There are going to be new businesses that come out of this. There are going to be people who have lost their job, will be crying and weeping, and yet they'll go out, start up a new business, and there'll be actually a business boom down the road with new business startups. It's another silver lining. But all you really need to know, if you run out of toilet paper, is you need to identify what is poison oak and poison ivy, right? Those are the two things you just don't want to use, okay? Do we absolutely have to have electricity for light? No, there is such a thing as candles. And guess what? You can go to bed at dark. Hand sanitizer, soap works fine. No, I am not a prepper per se, but I do prepare. I am not stockpiling stuff for years and years. One of the things that surprises me that people don't stockpile, however, because it has a long and shelf life and is very necessary, are good vitamins. They last for 2 years. 2 years they will last before they start to lose. And they don't just go bad. They slowly lose their effectiveness. So that's a good thing. If things are in short supply, you want to stay in good health, try vitamins. Store those up. But the most important thing is you have a real Bible. I'm not talking about a Bible on your phone. I'm talking about a real Bible somewhere. Get to know it. In the shortage of things, there are three things you need. You need a Bible, you'll need bullets, and a Browning 9mm, the BBBs. Actually, you don't have to have a Browning. There are a number of guns that will work, but I will tell you, I've been beating this drum forever. We could land in chaos, folks, that people who are after you because you got toilet paper, the people who will there will be all sorts of crime when there's chaos, where there's confusion caused by the enemy, there's every evil work. You will need to be able to defend your property, yourselves, and your loved ones. It's time to get your guns and ammo. This is the 498th time I've said it. If you can get it, get it. Take lessons, train, learn how to use it. It's a tool. Well, gosh, do I have time for this? I don't know if I do. No, I don't. I have a great thing I need to share. I just don't have time for it. And it comes out of 2 Kings. Why we are going... Well, I'm going to try to fit it in. Hang on. This is going to be fast. You see, the German people were a society that was lit up by Martin Luther in the Middle Ages, right? They became a great society. They thrived because of the spread of the gospel, even though Martin Luther had some issues. Theologically, it was still a breakthrough. But they gave their way over to secularism, and the secularism gave its way to anti-God, bibliophobic, Christophobic, resulting in an Adolf Hitler. You see, the Germans never had, rising up later in the political life of that country, a Donald Trump. Somebody who was actually calling the country back to its senses at a national level. Yes, they had Dietrich Bonhoeffer and some others. But they weren't the luminary that a national figure is. And a man by the name of Friedrich Schiller, made a great statement that reflected how the Germans missed it. He said, history brought forth a great moment, but the moment found a mediocre people. You see, there are times when history will bring along an opportunity for our country to rise up out of where it is. But the people are mediocre. Said, history brought forth a great moment, but the moment found a mediocre people. Josiah, a great king, look him up in 2 Kings. He gave himself to loving the Lord and ridding the country of all the bad practices and things of that sort. And he was promised a life of peace because God blessed him, and he did everything within his power. And history brought forth a great moment for Josiah, but the moment found a mediocre people in Israel. and the people of Israel were not ready or accommodating of a pursuit of righteousness and obedience. And the result was they got hauled off to exile, and Jerusalem was ravaged and destroyed. The bottom line is we're walking down a path of Germany, but the end result, if we don't rise up, will be that of Jerusalem. The end of this country as we know it. Now, the key here is, I have to conclude with this, you don't fear. I want to thank my brother, Greg Diamante, for sharing some of his notes with me, because he said, when I met with him this last week, he said, you know, you look past our last 20 years here. You look at 2000, the Y2K was going to kill us all. 2001, anthrax was going to kill us all. 2002, the West Nile virus was going to kill us all. 2003, SARS was going to kill us all. 2005, the bird flu, the aviary flu, was going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli was going to kill us all. 2010, they blamed everything on the oil spill and BP oil spill. It's going to kill us all. Going to kill the environment, it'll kill us all. 2012, the Mayan calendar is going to kill us all. If you remember, that predicted the end of the world. 2013, the North Korea is going to kill us all. 2014, Ebola virus is going to kill us all. 2015, ISIS is going to kill us all. 2016, the Zika virus is going to kill us all. 2017, Donald Trump is going to kill us all. 2018, Donald Trump is going to kill us all. 2019, Donald Trump is going to kill us all. And here we are in 2020. The coronavirus could kill us all. And it's the same as saying Donald Trump is going to kill us all. Because after all, it's all Donald Trump's fault. You see, the world moves in fear. If you're a Christian and you're moving in fear, you're in sin. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear has torment, it says in Scripture. Fear has bondage. You're in bondage if you live in fear. I heard the other day here what at the Bethel, I hope I got this story right. I think I do. It says that they're closing some of their healing rooms or healing services because of the virus. Now imagine, you stop your healing crusades because of the virus. I thought that's what the healing crusade. Well, I don't know. Maybe I got that wrong. But turn off your TV. Turn off mainstream news at the least. Start reading God's word. Start believing God's word. Put before your eyes, the frontlets of your eyes, God's word, and believe. It says in 2 Timothy. I'm going to start with Matthew 28:20. It says, "Lo, I am with you always." The Lord makes it very clear. He will not leave us nor forsake us. I mean, shouldn't that do it all by itself? But he goes on to inspire Paul through the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy 1:7, a passage you should know. But if you don't, you need to get to know. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and a sound mind. So let me flip this around. If you're functioning in fear, and you believe the Bible just got done telling you that it is not from God. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So who has? Do we really need to mince words here? The enemy of our souls, devil, Satan? He's the one that's given people a spirit. He is the fear monger. It's all he really has to work with, is to deceive people and to cause fear and to have people yielding and conceding power. You see, the Democrats, California and New York, want to take over things. Trump is not taking over things. He's just preventing bad people who could be contaminated from coming into this country and other basic necessities that people are looking for some assistance for the government to lead. Be a righteous leader, not one who's just looking to use the crisis as a means to take over, because that is what Satan has always done, and it's what he will do in the very end days. God's not given you a spirit of fear. that has come from the devil. And if you are fearful, you are believing Satan more than you are believing God. And so it seems that the only passage that's really appropriate to close this program with is once again, and I mentioned it last week, but it bears repeating, Psalm 91. And I'm going to focus on verses 9 through 13. Because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Because you have. So if you have, you got to do that first. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion. Upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent, you will trample under your foot. The plague will not come near your dwelling. And not only will it not come near your dwelling, you get to go out and trample the works of Satan. It's Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle, world. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.